Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Good morning. This is Dr. Fred, and I want to thank you for joining me. There's a lot going on in the world. I had an update, news and notes update from January 11th. You can read about that if you'd care to, instead of listening to this audio. You can read about it at studygrowknowblog.com. But for those of you who prefer audio, here it is. There is freedom. We're going to be talking about a number of things today, as we do with every news and notes update. There's freedom of speech denied by big tech. Well, as things move toward a Biden administration, big tech is flexing its muscles collectively to silence voices with which they disagree. They are doing so with the excuse that Trump supporters stormed the Capitol and Trump allegedly incited that violence. By now, critical thinking people know that Donald J. Trump did not incite any violence whatsoever. In fact, part of his speech emphasized peaceful means of getting the point across to those gathered in D.C. to hear his speech on January 6th. It also doesn't matter to the left that at least some individuals involved in storming the Capitol appear to be known faces in the BLM Antifa movements. Moreover, from some videos taken that day, it seems very clear that the Capitol Police actually allowed and even encouraged the protesters into the Capitol. None of this is discussed or even acknowledged by the left because they have a narrative and an agenda to put into place. Parler, the free speech alternative to Twitter, has been removed from Google Play, Android, and the Apple Store. Amazon shut down all of Parler's servers on January 10th, and Parler's CEO John Matzie issued a notice that it might be unavailable for up to a week, quote, as we rebuild from scratch, unquote. It's too bad, first of all, that they leaned on or expected Amazon to uphold their rights to begin with. Now, the chairwoman for Mozilla, the creator of Firefox web browser, called for additional actions to alter what she says are the dangerous dynamics of the internet and to silence disinformation campaigns by bad actors, meaning those who refuse to toe the leftist line. This is totalitarian language that flies in the face of the United States Bill of Rights. Where were these people when Black Lives Matter and Antifa caused $2 billion in destruction across America? Now, because of the recent events, Nancy Pelosi and others want President Trump impeached in spite of the fact that he's out of office in mere days. Why do they want this? Well, there are all kinds of reasons proffered for this. But among other things, if he is successfully impeached, he would not be able to legally run for president at any other time in the future. Voices are also condemning people like Ted Cruz, and they want him to resign from Congress. It seems the entire world has gone crazy with one tech giant after another, literally voiding people's ability to use their services. PayPal, Stripe, Twitter, Facebook, and others have all decided that President Trump is guilty of inciting violence and must be silenced and literally sent to the gulag. Even Angela Merkel is concerned about this move. Now, to top it off, Twitter has begun a major purge of conservative patriot accounts. They label them as QAnon's conspiracy disinformation accounts. Last week, I had over 11,000 followers. This morning, I'm actually just barely above 8,000, so I've lost well over 3,000 followers. Allegedly, Twitter has removed 70,000 or more accounts. Now, people argue that Twitter is a private business and can therefore do what they want to do. Well, this, of course, does not apply to any other private businesses on the right, does it? If Twitter can cancel anyone they want to and remove service from people, then why can't Christian bakers refuse to bake a wedding cake for a same-sex couple? Isn't that their right as a private company? Well, the hypocrisy is so startlingly obvious that only a person bereft of any native intelligence would fail to see it. Right now, in America, big tech has more power and influence than the Constitution. That should be cause for grave concern. In fact, it'll get worse. While the left smiles smugly about the fact that those with whom they disagree are being silenced, they fail to understand history and the fact that fascists will eventually come for them. They believe they're safe from expulsion or censure, when in reality, no one is safe from it. No one. Only those in charge. In fact, I'd argue, again from history, that those on the left who support this type of fascist censorship will be on the receiving end of it as well, once the left feels they have gained control completely over conservative voices. It always happens in society, as proven throughout history, when dictators are allowed to take the reins. So what can Christians do? That's a very important question. What can we do? Well, we must clearly pray, pray, and pray some more. The left counts on the fact that conservatives are not going to take arms up against the government, and moreover, will not do what Antifa and BLM did this past year, creating over $2 billion worth of destruction throughout various cities in the USA. The right, conservatives, don't do that. When we gather, we do so peacefully, though it has become commonplace for Antifa, BLM, and other groups to infiltrate and attempt to turn a peaceful demonstration into unchecked violence. It should be astounding to most how often the violent looting and destruction by Antifa, BLM leftists went essentially unnoticed by the left, including the MSM. Not one of them condemned it, not one. And yet, actually, many on the left, in politics, leaders of cities, encouraged it. Rogue actors stormed the Capitol on January 6th, and the left went nuts. Only unintelligent and unthinking people do not see the deliberate denials of those who know what is going on, but refuse to admit it. Folks, we need to pray, and I would go a step further. I believe, as Paul says in Thessalonians, that we need to give thanks for every situation that occurs. Because God is in control, is he not? It may not seem that way to us. It may not feel that way to us. We may not look at the situation and go, wow, God's really got this. We may think the exact opposite, or at least are tempted to think the exact opposite. But in reality, God has control. He has not given up his throne. He has not been usurped. Read Psalm 2 and find out how startlingly obvious everything is to God. And we should take the same approach. So I would like us and encourage you to not only pray that God will open your eyes to see what he's doing, but that you will praise him for the reality and truth that says he is in control. He is in control. We cannot say that we have faith in God and deny that he's in control. We can't do that. There must be consistency. Yes, I know that it does not feel right or feel good or even feel true. But I guarantee you, if you will start praying that God and his will continue to be done, and you will begin to thank him earnestly for it, then I can guarantee you, because the Bible guarantees you, that you will gain some peace in this situation. Well, let's move on. Ravi Zacharias debacle. You know, this is a sad one. I've waited for some time before commenting on the situation that involves apologist Ravi Zacharias, who died last year, 2020, whose ministry is based in Alpharetta, Georgia. After receiving the latest email from my friends over at Watchman's Bagpipes that highlighted the need for discernment and included the latest information about Zacharias, I decided it was probably a good time to present the basics to my readers, in case they had not heard. Between Watchmen's Bagpipes, Way of Life Literature, and a few other places with whom I subscribe, I'm kept in the know about what's happening in the world from a Christian perspective. Now, initially, the allegations against Zacharias were defended against him by him and his ministry. The people leveling the accusations against him were painted as gold diggers who simply attacked Zacharias in order to gain money. After Robbie's death in 2020 from cancer, I believe it was May of last year, the pressure had built to the point that the ministry of Robbie Zacharias, and by the way, I really have a problem with people who name a ministry after themselves, don't you? Why is that the case? Why should that be? Robbie Zacharias Ministries, Dale Bronner Ministries, Creflo Dollar Ministries. Why are these people naming these ministries after themselves? Shouldn't the glory go to God? Is God the one who called them in the ministry? Then why are they naming it after themselves? It makes no sense to me. Makes no sense. Beth Moore, all these people, you know them by name, and you know their names because their names are constantly out in front of you. So anyway, when Robbie died from cancer, the pressure had built to the point that the ministry itself believed they had an obligation to at least try to get to the truth of the situation. And to that end, fortunately, and I commend them for this, they hired a private investigation firm to find the truth about Robbie. Was there any merit to the allegations against him? Well, sadly, not only did the private firm find that there was enough evidence of sexual immorality by Robbie Zacharias, but they found more evidence of worse things than had been previously exposed or reported. Now, if you go to my webpage, studygrownoblog.com, and look at today's January 11th, yesterday's updates, news and notes, there is a link where you can click on it. It's called About Robbie Zacharias. And you can do some reading about that to inform yourself. We have a problem in America and throughout the world when we start worshiping and putting leaders on pedestals. And the other problem is these people have so much money coming in that anything that threatens that livelihood, the continued influx of money, is seen as the enemy, even if it's the truth. Now, I'm not going to go into details here in this episode. Suffice it to say that there appears to be plenty of information on the internet and evidence that proves that Robbie Zacharias had a sexual problem. The fact that he joined in a venture to open up at least one, possibly two spas where folks could go to receive messages, etc., They went there to receive massages. That's a very curious thing, to say the least, isn't it? He had stated publicly that no ministry funds were used to buy his partnership. But the problem is that he apparently spent a good deal of time there, and several of the female masseuses complained to management that they felt very uncomfortable around Robbie because of his requests and other things he did in front of them. In fact, one of the first masseuses who went and complained to the management at the spa was actually fired. The problem with sexual sin is the plain simple fact that, unlike all other sins, sexual sin often includes another person, meaning, and Paul explains this for a minute, which we'll get to in his letter to the Corinthians. Because of this, the consequences of sexual sin are often far greater. Let's just use David as an example. Although in David's case, he repented personally, seriously. He understood what he had done wrong. Yet the consequences of his decisions to first commit adultery with a married woman, Bathsheba, and then have her husband, Uriah, killed, those consequences tore his home, his household apart, didn't they? If a person hates another person in their heart or harbors an evil attitude toward another person, the other person may never even know it. The person who hates the other might cover it over with false sentiment, pretending to be friendly. When a person has an adulterous affair, the Bible says they are uniting themselves with that person in a spiritual union, Genesis 2:24, and you can also check Romans 1:16-17. This is the only sin, sexual sin, that does not does that type of thing. It's the only type of sin. Listen to what Paul says, and I don't think he could have made it clearer, in 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication, every sin. Notice he says, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body, for reasons we just stated, including Paul's epistle to the Romans. So we have to be extremely careful, don't we? Men in ministry, men who teach Sunday school, men who are pastors at churches, must be completely transparent and above board. Had this information come out about Robbie when it first came out, he should have, and he would have hopefully have been forced to step down. We see this time and time again. It is amazing how many people, how many men in pastorates, how many men in Christian ministry as leaders step out into the realm of sexual immorality. They wind up stepping down, but then they come back. No, they don't need to come back. They have basically canceled themselves out of being in ministry. Sexual immorality includes another person. And God says that when a man sleeps with a woman, if that man is married, if that woman is married, that man who sleeps with the woman is joining himself with that woman spiritually. How can that be if we are told in Genesis that the two become one? So if a man is already married, he's already one with his wife. There has been a spiritual union. For that man then to go outside of that marriage and sleep, have sex with another woman, whether she's married or not, it means that he has then committed adultery and become unionized with that woman spiritually. How does that work? Well, let's move on. Masking up. There appears to be a growing sharp divide within Christian circles between those who believe it is imperative that Christians wear masks in order to not be a stumbling block to others or to prove our love for our neighbor, and those who do not believe wearing masks is something that needs to be done. The gulf is becoming greater. It is becoming more pronounced. My concern is not whether people wear masks or not. I don't care. That's a decision each person must decide for themselves. If someone wants to wear a mask and it makes them feel safer, wonderful. Let them wear a mask. If someone says that I should wear a mask to make them feel safer, I disagree completely. And science is on my side, not their side. When I go to a doctor's office, I ask permission to wear a face shield instead of a mask. When I go to a doctor's office, I ask them for permission to wear a face shield instead of a mask simply because I can breathe easier and because others can see my facial features. I have not had anyone tell me when I ask, oh no, you've got to wear a mask. They allow me to wear a face mask. I'm concerned that this false narrative is being built that claims Christians who don't wear masks are being disobedient or defiant to God and selfish. Because they're being selfish and defiant, they're sinning. They need to come clean. They need to repent, confess, and start wearing a mask. People who believe that are becoming increasingly annoyed by those Christians who are exercising their freedom to not wear a mask. The belief is that all Christians should be willing to set aside their quote-unquote freedoms for the sake of the gospel. The problem is that Christians are also supposed to be steeped in truth. Is that correct? If there was absolutely no harm in wearing a mask, I would have no problem wearing one, even if it made just someone else feel better. If there was no health problems or risks associated with wearing masks, I would wear one. That is simply not the case. Because there is evidence, lots of it, that rebreathing your exhaled CO2, carbon dioxide, is not good for you at all. Do you think God wants us to deliberately harm ourselves in order to make someone else feel better? Now, often I hear the reason people wear masks is for the other person's safety. I'm not protecting myself. I'm protecting them. They've been told, and they believe, that a person who wears a mask keeps others from contracting something from the person wearing the mask. Yet the WHO, World Health Organization, has stated that healthy people should not wear masks. Of course, people like Dr. Fauci tell us that coronavirus 19 is such a brilliant disease that a person could have it, have no symptoms at all, and pass it along to someone else. This has been proven untrue by a recent 10 million person study. The asymptomatic carrier simply does not exist. So if I'm not having any symptoms, then why should I wear a mask? And think about something. When you go to the doctor's office, what is it they do? They take your temperature, and if your temperature is elevated, they will dismiss you. If they take your temperature and it's fine, you're free to go on in. No symptoms, yet I still have to wear something over my face. I'm asymptomatic. I have no symptoms, but they're telling me, look, to protect yourself and others, you need to wear this type of face covering. I'm concerned about Christian leaders who say that they're somewhat ambivalent about masks, yet constantly seem to urge people to wear them from their pulpits. I'm concerned about Christian leaders who continually opine that masks help, when in point of fact, there are too many white papers and articles written by medical doctors and researchers and epidemiologists who provide a completely different perspective. Why are they being ignored? Why are they being ignored? I'm concerned that Biden will issue a nationwide mask mandate, completely overstepping his authority as president to do so, and the left and MSM will back him up completely. Anyone who refuses to go along will be viciously attacked verbally and possibly physically, fined and or jailed, even though a mask mandate is not equal to a law passed by Congress and never has been. I'm concerned about pastors who will seek to enforce or highly recommend wearing masks during services if a national mask mandate is issued, and those who do not comply in the congregation will be unwelcome or shunned. I'm concerned about my health and my wife's health. Will these same pastors and leaders also highly recommend taking the vaccine for the same reason? Well, if they're going to be consistent, they should, shouldn't they? Listen to this. Quote, this is from a government website on vaccines. Quote, did you know that when you get vaccinated, you're protecting yourself and your community? This concept is called community immunity or herd immunity. You've heard herd immunity before, and it's an important reason for you and your family to get vaccinated so you can help keep yourselves and your community healthy. So the above that I just read is presented by our own government, that herd or community immunity allegedly only happens via a vaccine. But for decades, we've been told that herd or community immunity happens when people are briefly exposed to others who may have some illness. Because of the brief exposure, people who come in contact with those people are able to fight that illness off if they are generally healthy. If they're not healthy, they're going to come down with a ton of things anyway. In fact, I recall being told years ago by my doctors that they don't often get sick like their patients because they see those sick patients for very short periods of time, and their immune systems fight off the illnesses they are exposed to by their patients. So, those Christian leaders or average Christians who believe that all Christians should wear masks without questions should also, if we're going to follow the logic here, step up and take the vaccine, because the medical community is now telling us that only through the vaccine will people gain herd immunity, and it's a bit of a slippery slope, to say the least. And honestly, it seems to me that the information we are being forced to swallow today is just simply wrong. Here's an example, by the way, of a pro-vaccine medical doctor in Florida who died after receiving the CV-19 vaccine. They are still investigating the cause of his death, but it appears that he had a severe reaction that caused his platelet count to go down to zero. Nothing the experts could do saved his life, and he eventually died from a massive stroke. And by the way, I read the same article last week, and it has been changed since then to potentially downplay the connection to the vaccine. But here is what his wife basically said. The love of my life, my husband Gregory Michael, MD, an obstetrician that had his office in Mount Sinai Medical Center in Miami Beach, this is Florida, died the day before yesterday due to a strong reaction to the COVID vaccine. He was a very healthy 56-year-old, loved by everyone in the community, delivered hundreds of healthy babies, and worked tirelessly through the pandemic. He was vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine at MSMC on December 18th. 3 days later, he saw a strong set of rash on his feet and hands, which made him seek attention at the emergency room. The CBC that was done at his arrival showed that his platelet count to be zero. A normal platelet count ranges from 150,000 to 450,000 platelets per microliter of blood, and again, he had zero. He was admitted to the ICU with a diagnosis of acute ITP caused by a reaction to the COVID vaccine. A team of expert doctors tried for 2 weeks to raise his platelet count to no avail. Experts from all over the country were involved in his care. No matter what they did, the platelets count refused to go up. He was conscious and energetic through the whole process, but 2 days before a last resort surgery, he got a hemorrhagic stroke caused by the lack of platelets that took his life in a matter of minutes. He was a pro-vaccine advocate, and that is why he got it himself. I believe that people should be aware of the side effects in this situation. Now, the reality here is there's a lot of misinformation out there. That is an example of one physician who was pro-vaccine, who took the vaccine, and most likely died from it. Now, I am not scared of the CV-19 virus or any other illness. My wife has survived both cancer and kidney problems. Why? Because it was not her time to go yet. I have a melanoma on my back that was caught at very early stages and will not likely become worse. Why? Because it's not my time to go yet. We have been around people who have been sick at church, other places. We've shaken hands with people and hugged them. We have not gotten sick. Why? Because God has control of our lives. Yes, we eat right. Yes, we do our best to be in good health and maintain that health, which clearly also plays into things. Now, if you love people, listen to this. Here is the narrative today. If you really love people, listen to what you should do. You should stay away from them. You shouldn't hug or give them a handshake. You should mask up. That's what today it means to love people. Stay far away from them, pretend or see them as potentially lethal to you, and do everything in your power to stay away from them. Don't connect with them physically, get away from them, mask up, stay away, because everybody is lethal at this point. And according to the quote unquote experts, most people don't even know it because they're completely asymptomatic. I'm frustrated. So if you love people today, you'll mask up, you'll stay away from them, you'll treat them like they are lepers. You'll treat them as if you will die if you physically contact them or even come close enough to breathe their air. But isn't God fully in control in my life? There are many things in life I simply cannot control. Would you agree with me? Those things I have to give to God for his safekeeping. And as far as I'm concerned, COVID-19 and every other illness that is constantly circulating in society are those things that I have to give to him. People may say, oh, gee, Fred, you're tempting fate. No, I'm not tempting fate. I am not tempting fate. I'm living a normal life, and I'm not living in fear. That's what I'm doing. I'm trusting God. I am not tempting God. I am trusting God. Well, that's all I have for today. I do thank you for joining me. Prepare yourself, folks. Pray, pray, and pray some more. And while you're at it, praise God for all the blessings that He has given you, for the fact that you have salvation, for the fact that He is in your life, for the fact that you are part of His adopted family, for the fact that you will live with Him in eternity forever and ever and ever, for the fact that once you get to eternity, your sin nature is completely surgically excised from you, and you will never, ever be tempted to sin in any way, shape, or form again. Those are things to praise Him for. This life is but a vapor. It is temporary. There is nothing we can do to extend our life. Nothing, because our days have been numbered by God Himself. Praise Him for all that He is. Praise Him. Rise above the fray. Rise above the negativity. Rise above the disinformation. And just praise God. Thanks for joining me. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.